airing the Addisons.
Let me say this, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to be careful and make sure that in everything, man, we are trying to get as close to what the word says as possible.
And we got to understand that with that type of wickedness, man, you know, God does not wink at that. That's judgment.
Promoting truth, wisdom, and empowerment.
And you don't have shades of truth. You have truth or you have error. You have fact or you have fiction.
And now we go into the thick of it.
Uh-oh. Erin Addisons.
On American Family Radio. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. I'm Miki.
And I'm Will.
And Sherry B is over in Studio CC. We appreciate her not only taking your calls, but getting our guests on and also handling the giveaways and so much more, so much more. We appreciate Sherry B.
Yes.
And congratulations to our winner yesterday. If I'm not mistaken, it was a gentleman who got in first, got through first and got the book, Not So Perfect Mom, written by Amy Reno.
Yes.
And so I was thinking about it, you know, yesterday, and I thought, you know, if you're getting this to give to your wife, you may need, there may need to be a little bit of a conversation before you hand it to her. Seeing because as though see the title of it is Not So Perfect Mom.
Yeah. And I think the winner was from like Broussard, Louisiana.
Okay, Broussard, stand up. Okay, that's very nice. So let me just tell you something. Let me just say, before you hand that over to your wife, you don't want to go, here, babe, I was just thinking about you. You want to say, you know, I was listening to a program.
Yeah.
And I heard something that I thought might be of interest to you. And I hope that this is a blessing.
So if I just brought that book home and said, here, this is a book I think you need to read. what would your response be?
You mean after I threw it at you?
You wouldn't do that.
Sure. Why not? We said people like that we're real around here. No, I would not throw any books at you twice.
You did before?
I don't think so. Well, you're so... Well,
I'm trying
to
think
guys,
back. I'm like, what?
In this stand-up act that we do... You know,
I'm not a comedian. I'm
the
sorry.
Funny one. And Will is the you know, the not funny one. They used to say the funny guy and the straight guy. That's
unfunny.
What they used to say.
I'm unfunny.
But now it's just weird to say that. You know, the straight man was the character that always kept the straight face. And then you had the comedian. I'm that person.
Yeah.
And you're the person with the straight face.
Yes.
And so every time I try to bring a joke in, you bring in the reality of like, you know, and it's just, you know.
I'm not a comedian, so.
And that's okay. You know, nobody's expecting that. But just don't throw a wet towel on what I'm doing.
It's not on purpose.
Here. I mean, right. He's like, I'm not trying to shut you down on purpose. It just comes to me naturally.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, no, if you brought that book home, I would be so grateful because, especially if you told me what it was about, you heard an interview on it and you said, hey, I think this would be a blessing to you because the interview yesterday was so life-giving to me. And one of the highlights of the interview for me was to hear Amy talk about her exchange with a woman who talked about how you got to this point of wanting to homeschool your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, what are you talking about? She's like, I don't want to be homeschooling my kids now. Like, you know, that is so real. In fact, and I had a conversation with a sister, maybe this was some months back.
Mm-hmm.
And her face was really surprised when I told her, because she was talking about gearing up for school and getting everything in order. And she's very type A. And so she's really excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, nope, I don't get excited about that. That's not something I'm looking forward to. I said, I would be perfectly fine to have someone else teach my kids reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Yeah.
Perfectly fine with that. And people say, well, Miki, why are you homeschooling? For one reason only. Hear me well. For one reason only, I believe that I am the person who is supposed to shape the character of my children.
Mm-hmm.
I alone. I believe that God has chosen me to do that. Mm-hmm. He has given me those children to do that. And I believe I'm supposed to make disciples of those children. I am so strongly convicted about that, that I am unwilling to navigate through other people's riffraff.
Because it will be harder.
To get to my children.
Yeah.
And so the reason that I homeschool is not because I think I'm the best scientist, not because I think that I am the best English scholar, not at all, not at all. I think that there are people who are far smarter than I am, who could do a better job teaching, probably getting through to my kid who struggles with dyslexia, probably can do, you probably have degrees in that.
Yeah.
But none of that matters to me, for I am unwilling to overlook what I feel is the great responsibility that I have to shape character and make followers of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And that's the thing. It's not that academics do not matter.
Oh, no, no. They matter.
But what matters more.
Yes. I'm so glad you said
building,
that.
Is building, you know, disciples of Christ.
Yeah, look, let me tell you. Here's a prime example of that. So yesterday was Monday. So yesterday morning, I had a conversation with Gabby at the start of our one-on-one lesson. And before we started, I was going to have her just spend a little bit of time reading. And Gabby struggles with dyslexia. And so I was going to have her spend some time reading. And I decided to start in the scriptures, have her read there, not directly from any of her lessons, but just to start in the scriptures. And I believe the Lord was leading me. So I said, you know what? We had been reading through Ephesians. So I said, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Well, now let me tell you something. Here's what I know about Gabby. Gabby is our quiet one. You heard from her when she was on in the studio with us. Gabby is our quiet child, but Gabby is very stubborn and very determined when she sets her mind to something. And one of the things that I have noticed in Gabby is that she is drawn to strong female figures. She wants to see the woman strong and not the damsel in distress. She's not drawn to that, right? So I've observed this, and I have observed her almost bristle at times when I say, we need to check with Daddy. Which came as a surprise to me, because I expected that from Mariah, the outspoken one, the one who's like, anything you can do, I can do better. But she actually gets it. She's seen it in the scriptures. She gets it. I don't have any issues. But it's Gabby, who is quiet and generally compliant, who has this kind of inward, as I would call it, an inward rebellion against God's stated order. Now, she has not said, I'm rebelling against that, but she wonders. In fact, as we got into reading in Ephesians, she began asking me questions. I had her read, then I read, then we talked, and we got into a great discussion where she was trying to figure out, how is it that the man is the head of the family? Why is he first? Why is he the head of the family because he is created first? Is he the head of the family because he's generally bigger, because he's stronger? Why is he the head of the family, and what's wrong with women that they can't lead their families? Now listen, let me tell you something. Your children, whether you know it or not, have these types of questions. But most of them are getting their answers and having their constructs shaped by the culture. So they are looking at strong female characters, right, who do not submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ, who do not understand male headship. And also, some of our sons are getting their understanding of women's roles from the culture. Even now, though, it's flopped where, you know, masculinity is seen as toxic. I'm trying to protect my sons from that foolishness. Right? It's seen as toxic. But even before then, maybe men were taught that women didn't have the same value and the same worth that they had. Both of those extremes are wrong. And the person who fears God will avoid those types of extremes. So I explained to Gabby that the man is the head of the family because that is the way God purposed for him to be. It has nothing to do with simply his stature, the way he's designed. It doesn't have anything to do with his worth, him being of more value or greater worth than the woman. It doesn't have anything to do with his mental toughness or anything like that, but it is God's created design. So look, it's not just man was made first and so he gets to be the leader. It is man is the leader. He is made first. He is uniquely designed to answer to God on account of his family. And I tried to explain to her that it is a huge responsibility, because as we're reading through Ephesians chapter 5, I mean, it says that the woman should see that she respects her own husband, that she submits to her own husband. But the Bible also says that the husband is to love the wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So I'm looking at her and she's processing all of this. And so I said, Gabby, there's a huge responsibility on Daddy's shoulders, and I want to make that a joy for him. I don't want to be a bother. When it comes to making decisions and leading our family, He will give an account to God
right.
for how he leads our family. So I want to serve him. I want to respect him. It doesn't mean that I don't have an opinion.
Right.
And so then I said, but look, daddy's got to be in the position. Daddy is called to give his life for me.
Mm.
So she says, so you would just take a step back if you saw daddy struggling in a fight or if somebody was trying to hurt us? I said, well, no, Gabby, you're missing the point. No, I mean, I wouldn't just take a step back. I wouldn't just be like off eating bonbons. Well, I hope you get them, dear. Well, look, that one's getting up off the ground. No, what I'm saying is that there is a posture, an expected posture that the husband, the head of the family has, mm-hmm. that God expects that husband lives sacrificially and gives of himself. The wife has the same type of expectation, but it's displayed differently.
Amen.
Well, anyway, as we continue on going through this conversation, I mm-hmm. said, Gabby, do you understand that? Do you have any questions? And I think she began to understand. But here was a really critical moment in our exchange as we were talking. I said, Gabby, I really hope that you trust us to help you respond to the call of the right husband in the future.
Yeah.
And I said, I hope that you trust us. And I said, Gabby, I hope that you marry a man who fears God, who would be willing to die for you, but who also values and respects your opinion. I said, Gabby, you are totally fit and totally capable of leading. Being submissive and respecting your husband is not a display of weakness.
Yeah.
It is a display of self-control and a right fear of God. I Amen. Said, do you think that I'm incapable of making decisions? And she was like, no, mm-hmm. you know, but I think when she said no, she was kind of like, so you should, you know what I mean? and I said, no, I'm not. I said, but you know what, Gabby? I said, I am married to daddy who is not threatened by me,
mm-hmm.
who is not intimidated by me, who values the way God has made me, who mm-hmm. allows me to do the things that God has called me to do. And I said, I'm not stifled. I said, I'm not oppressed. I'm not sad about that. There is nothing that I lose by saying, let's check with daddy or let's find out what daddy thinks about that. I said, in your opinion, I said, do you see daddy as harsh and a taskmaster and like controlling? And she's like, no, he's none of those things. I said, right, right. And I said, so here's the thing. My submission and my respect of daddy is a joy. I want his leadership to be a joy. I want him to lead our family without me, you know, nagging and mm-hmm. you know, I don't want daddy to be, I don't want to come home.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so anyway, I had an incredible opportunity
That's
to
awesome.
Encourage her that what our culture today calls feminism
mm-hmm.
really is not. It's subjugation.
Mm.
It is a female desire to rule over men. Why? Because that desire, as we see with all things happening in our culture,
mm-hmm.
that desire mars the image of God.
Yeah.
God has an express order. He has clearly laid out
Amen.
How he wants our families to function. And it has nothing to do with value. It has nothing to do with worth, but it has everything to do with, to say it simply, God is in charge.
Amen.
He's in charge. He gets to call the shots.
Yep.
And so what do we do as his creation? We say yes and amen.
Mm.
One of the things I did, and I haven't read the book in its entirety, and Gabby is working through it. I borrowed it today. For this quick mention, but I bought her a book because I noticed that she's drawn to strong female characters, and I
yeah.
want to be a part of shaping how she sees the value of women, how she sees women who have been called to do things by God. But being called to do something by God
mm-hmm.
is never, ever a justification for rebelling against him.
That's right.
So if God calls you right. to do something and you say you're doing it for the glory of God, there is no way you can be a working contradiction doing it against the will of your husband, going against the desire of God for your family. If those things can't work together and complement each other, then maybe you aren't called to do those things.
Come on now.
I don't speak anywhere or do anything unless Will first approves it. And I will continue to tell people that because it is important and it brings glory to God.
Amen.
All right, Erin the Addisons. Oh, I'll mention the book when we get back from the break. Erin the Addisons on American Family Radio. We'll be right back. back. This is Aaron the Addisons on American Family Radio. We sure do appreciate you listening. Thank you so much for doing that. I'm Miki.
And I'm Will, and it's Todd Delaney, Fall in Love Again.
So observing our 11-year-old who is drawn to strong female characters, and I see the propensity for things to go awry. If this culture were to control the narrative, if this culture were to tell her what women should and shouldn't do, I could see that I would have a battle on my hands. And so I notice her natural inclination. And so I'm jumping in and doing what I'm installed to do. That is discipling and building character and doing that around the finally authoritative word of God. And so one other thing I want to say before we go to our next guest, I bought her a book and I haven't read all of the entries, which there's 100 of them. And neither has she, but I invite her to share them with me. She shared one with me recently. The title of the book is 100 Extraordinary Stories for Courageous Girls, Unforgettable Tales of Women of Faith, right? Because I want her to see strong, godly women using their gifts and their abilities for the glory of God, right? It's very different from what is being presented in our culture. I'll say this one last thing. As we were reading in Ephesians and the Apostle Paul was talking about women submitting to their husbands and respecting their husbands and then husbands loving their wives, Gabby asked me this. She said, "Mom, is that just Paul's opinion or is that from the Lord?" And I said, "Gabby, that is from the Lord." I said, "Now we have lots of evidence from this. We have the creation account as evidence of this." I said, "But also when Paul offers an opinion that he believes to be trustworthy because we know him, he says that." And I took her to 1 Corinthians 7, where the Apostle Paul specifically says, "Now look, I don't give you this as a command from the Lord. This is coming from me, but I think you can trust me here," right? And then he goes on. So we went to that and we read it. And she said, "Okay." And so I said, "So you can see then if there is the default is that we believe the Bible to be inspired by God, right? That the Holy Spirit is speaking through these men as they are carried along, right? And so unless they write something otherwise, unless they themselves say, "Well, you know, this is a command that I'm giving you. This is what I'm telling you, not not the Lord. This is what I'm saying." Then we go with it as this is from the Lord. I said, "But even what they are suggesting, we believe that these are the apostles called of God."
That's right.
So we put high value and high stock in even their suggestions, if you will. And that was enough for her. Now, when I say enough, that's enough for that discussion. We're not we're not done. But if you've got a girl growing up in your home, I would just say that Gabby is enjoying this book. Now, of course, I have to still read through it with her. And, you know, so you would probably do the same thing as a parent. But again, the book is 100 Extraordinary Stories for Courageous Girls, Unforgettable Tales of Women of Faith. And anyway, maybe I'll talk to you a little bit more about this. There's one that she told me about recently that stood out and I was fascinated by. Didn't know this character. So Gabby taught me something. all right, let's move on in our discussion because I came across this story and I was thinking, well, as many of us all across the United States of America on Sunday were getting up and getting dressed and preparing to head off to church, there was one particular congregation in San Diego that saw the result of what happens when the body of Christ stands up and is motivated and is activated to hold the line in our culture. And I want to talk about that. And so joining us to talk about what happened this past weekend in San Diego, California, is author Shaper. I want to say Shaper is the last name, the director of the organization Mass Resistance. And you guys issued a call to action in San Diego surrounding an event that was to happen, actually supposed to happen today. So you'll tell me a little bit about that, if it's already happened or if it's still kind of you know, scheduled to happen. But Drag Queen Story Hour at a local library there, and you reached out to churches saying, "Hey, you know, we need to sound the alarm. We need to let families know." And there was one church in particular that responded to that call and I guess just faced the wrath of these homosexual LGBTQ plus activists who tout tolerance, but themselves are very intolerant.
That's right.
Arthur, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much. My name is, last name is Shopper, just like going shopping. Everybody gets it wrong the first time. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Yes, Mass Resistance, we've been around since 1993. We've been fighting the pro-family fight, going right to the streets to fight this culture war. And we had residents in Chula Vista, that's the city specifically in San Diego County, who reached out to us They connected us with Pastor Amato Weezer and other pastors in the area, and they've spoken out at length against this perverse Drag Queen Story Hour program in which we don't know the real names of the performers. We don't know if they were given background checks. Our organization found sex offenders had infiltrated into these programs in Houston, and there was a male prostitute convicted of male prostitution, drag queen reading in Austin. Worst of all, that even with the background checks, that's not sufficient because one of the sex offenders would have escaped from a preliminary check himself. So, I mean, this program is fraught with evil, fraught with error from the outset. They're promoting these pro-LGBT books, pushing gender fluidity, et cetera. Residents throughout Chula Vista and the greater San Diego area are just outraged about this. As soon as our activists in the area began handing out flyers and informing the public about it, we have had a staggering 80% plus of people opposed to this program. They have bombarded the city council, the library, the city manager, demanding that the program be canceled. And instead, we've seen LGBT activists trying to disrupt our press conference. They failed. The city councilman, openly gay Steve Padilla, smeared Chula Vista residents, our organization, as anti-immigrant and white supremacist, a full-on desperate fraud attempting to silence us. And then last of all, you have pro-LGBT Satanists vandalize a local church, all in perverse and yet failed attempts to silence our outrage with this whole perverse program. Mass Resistance issued our latest report detailing how LGBT and drag entertainment specifically is deeply allied with Satanism and the occult. This comes as no surprise, even though it remains very shocking. We are urging everyone in the San Diego area to join with us to rally against this program at 3 p.m. outside of the Civic Center Library in Chula Vista.
You know, it's amazing because this is one of the things that unfortunately has been normalized in our culture. And I thought I remember reading when I was trying to get to the bottom of sort of the genesis of this, because this Drag Queen Story Hour is a movement. This is an organization. A lot of people wrongly believe that you've just got a few confused, deviant individuals who are picking out libraries, but this is an organized effort to sexualize young children. And if I remember, doesn't this originate in San Diego? Or is it San Francisco?
No, actually, this is in San Francisco.
Okay, okay.
This is a program that's been going 4 years now. It's been normalized and promoted by none other than the American Library Association. This seemingly neutral organization is pushing a whole bunch of left-wing, anti-biblical, anti-Christian propaganda, and their latest iteration is through the Drag Queen Story Hour program. They even train teachers on their main website, on their own website, how to push this program, how to circumvent parents, how to get around opposition to this. I mean, this is a determined agenda to sexualize young children and to distort their minds to embrace this corruption. And it's time for people to say enough. Parents across the region are thrilled that Mass Resistance got involved to expose this, to confront this, and to demand its end. After the program, we're going after the city council. We're going to confront and hold them all accountable for taking no steps to stop this. With one word, the city manager could have directed the librarian to cancel the program, and yet nothing. They've refused. Only one city council member held a press conference the previous week after our urging to specifically denounce this program.
So this program, if it's coming to let's say another city, another state, and parents get wind of it, and churches, what's the first thing that parents or churches, organizations should do? Like, what's the first action?
Well, we definitely encourage them to contact us. We have a toolkit that we've prepared. It is essential to bombard the city council, bombard elected officials. Everyone has a right to know who these so-called volunteers are, not just the stage names, but the real names. When we had that information, our people in Texas did the background checks, which the library and even the local press failed to do. That's how they discovered not one, but two sex offenders in Houston, Texas alone.
Wow.
And then along with that, the male prostitute reading to children in Austin, Texas. It is essential to research their social media. You'll find that these drag queens have absolutely no sense. They have no sense of restraint. They are explicit with so much of the perverse adult entertainment that they engage in, and it is essential to capture that and present that to the public and explain to people these are not clowns or these are not men pretending to be women playing a character. This is illicit, sexually explicit entertainment, which has no business being around children. And this is an agenda attempting at all costs to normalize false ideas which are damaging to children. The so-called gender fluidity, the idea of queer role models, there has to be an emphatic courage to state the obvious. Homosexuality, transgenderism, these behaviors are not to be imitated. They are to be discouraged, and in no way should they be promoted to children. And Mass Resistance, we have been at the forefront of making this very clear in this pro-family fight. You can't say to the LGBT groups, you can have your behaviors, but just leave our children alone. You can have your behaviors, you can have your gay pride parades, but let us have our religious liberty. There's no compromise here. There's never been intended compromise. And we see this, how they force their way now into our public spaces like libraries, demanding access to our children. Think, this is not an exaggeration.
No.
We dealt with drag entertainers in Alaska, in the Anchorage City Council member declaring openly, one of the performers said, we are entitled to be around children.
Oh.
No, you're not.
Man.
I'm not entitled.
Come
You're
on,
not
Arthur.
Entitled. No one except the parents of a child are entitled.
Come on.
We also supply for parents not just previous examples of how horrific this agenda is, but we provide all the information needed to combat the lies, not just from the activists or the elected officials, but from the media as well, who have resorted to every hateful smear to attempt to silence good men and women who want to protect children, protect our country, and protect our culture.
Arthur Schopper, that's the voice you're listening to right now. I could talk to you for hours. Look, we have lost our outrage in this country. We have lost our passion. A lot of our churches don't even know how to find their get up and go. We don't know how to be salt and light.
If I may interject.
Go ahead.
If I may, thank you so much. I'm learning how to give and take here. A big part of the problem that we face with the drag queen programs is that many parents and many people in the community don't even know it's happening. That's much of what's happening. Isn't that interesting? At one point, you've got these LGBT activists who want to preach tolerance, inclusion, acceptance, et cetera. Yet at the same time, if they're so proud of these programs, they seem to go out of their way not to allow the greater public to know about them. Because as soon as we told people in Chula Vista, Mass Resistance has also been active in Georgia, in Ohio, in Texas, in New York, confronting this perverse program. Parents find out, they are outraged, and they want it stopped at all costs. It is essential not just to shut down the programs, but to go after elected officials and the commissions. They need to fix the rules to be in compliance with state law, to ensure that adult entertainers are not around children at all. The American Library Association hides behind or abuses the First Amendment and the Bill of Rights to defend allowing such trash around children. It has no basis. The ALA even rolled out something called the Library Bill of Rights. It has no legal or even moral force. Parents, citizens, taxpayers need to be aware of all of these lies, fight back, not give up, and put an end to this stuff. Mass Resistance has been quite successful across the country in shutting these programs down or ensuring that they don't continue. And we intend to have more victories here in San Diego.
Oh, yes, yes. And we're behind you 110%. Yeah, what is your website, Arthur? Like, how can people connect? You mentioned that there's a packet, like an action packet for parents and churches. How do they get a hold of that?
So our website is www.massresistance.org. the two words, mass resistance, put together. Our office, our main office number is 781-890-6001. We're in Waltham, Massachusetts. I'll repeat the number, 781-890-6001. You're also free to contact me. My email address is Arthur, A-R-T-H-U-R, at massresistance.org. We're ready to equip and help people step up and fight this. We've got the LGBT on the run. Our next attack is we're starting to investigate these LGBT groups, the South Bay Alliance, PFLAG, LGBT centers. We're finding out where they get their money. Who are these people?
Yes.
Because they're the ones who seem to be pulling the strings of some of these elected officials to push these programs, even against the vast majority, the will of the vast majority of people in these communities.
Arthur, thank you so much. I mean, thank you for your passion. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for your organization. We'll continue letting our listeners know about mass resistance and bringing this to our listeners' attention so that we can be involved and be salt and light and hold the line in our generation. Our kids are worth that, aren't they, Will? I mean, our kids are absolutely worth that.
Yes.
All right, Arthur, thank you so much. We're going to grab this break. This is Aaron the Addisons on American Family Radio. We will be right back.
And I am CEO of Educate and Celebrate, and we are a charity that transforms schools and organisations into LGBT-friendly places. So predominantly, we are training teachers because we want our teachers to be really, really confident in the language of gender identity and sexual orientation. So they are speaking the same language as our young people.
Diversity and all, it starts with education. I think, you know, tolerance and LGBTQI issues all should start with education. So, you know, companies like this are super important for going in and just and teaching that and getting having dialogues, you know, getting people to talk about it. You know, because there's a lot of things going on in school that I think are kind of ignored. And people like Ellie go in and bring that up, and it's a safe space all of a sudden for any children that are having issues to speak about it.
The whole concept of Educate and Celebrate is to treat everyone equally and fairly. And really, the bottom line is to completely smash heteronormativity. That's what we want to do. So our kids can grow up and be who they are, because we are all more productive and we are all so much happier when we can be ourselves. So we totally encourage intersectional ways of teaching, lots of pedagogies around usualising, so making LGBT plus people an everyday occurrence within the school. And that can come through by simply teachers being out, it can come through the curriculum, it can come through what you're putting on the walls, so in the environment, and how you're engaging with your community. And that's our goal.
And that's our goal.
They're trying to make like a haven of LGBT. Put it on your walls and teachers coming out. And
they are making disciples.
Yeah.
They are making disciples.
So it's like everywhere a student looks, you know,
this
you can see
all that is
LGBT.
Around you. And so what you are doing is you are creating the environment to make cultural converts.
Crazy.
So you are making a type of believer.
Normalizing sinful behavior.
That's exactly right. And why do I play that? Yes, that's over in the UK, but I'm telling you, this is the end game.
Yeah.
That's the goal. Welcome back to Aaron the Addisons on American Family Radio. We appreciate you listening. I'm Meeky. Mm-hmm.
And I'm Will, and that was Phil Wickham before that clip, Till I Found You.
Sherry B is over in Studio CC. We'll open the phone lines up, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. You heard the voice of Ellie Barnes, the founder of an organization called Educate and Celebrate. And she described her organization as a charity that transforms schools into LGBTQ friendly places. She says later in that clip, we've got another clip, but I don't think I'm going to get to playing it here just because there's other things I want to discuss. But she says later in that clip, as they have set their sights on predominantly training teachers, they also want to change organizations. And they are, quote, committed. Well, let me read it this way. The bottom line, quote, is completely smashing heteronormativity. That's the bottom line, to completely smash heteronormativity.
Wow. Yeah.
So that our kids, and in fact, and there are kids that are in this video clip that we played a portion of, there are children in this video clip who said, we are looking down the line, and what we expect, the children said this, the children said, we are looking down the line, and what we expect is that there'll be no such thing as coming out, because people will, quote, just be who they are. In other words, the coming out refers to that there is a norm. There is something that is abnormal about this that maybe you hide or you, you keep it as a secret because it is not normal. So what these children are saying is that eventually where we want to go, you know what, in fact, well, let's go ahead and play the clip. I think people need to hear these
clip
kids.
Two.
Now, there's a little bit of an accent, and so maybe that'll be a little bit of a barrier to you understanding what they're saying, but just listen carefully and closely to what they're saying. This is clip two.
Love is not a choice. It's like me saying that you're not allowed to go to a certain place because you're not from that certain place.
Like one of my closest friends, her mum's lesbian. I know she's nice and funny and like she's quite sweet and caring. I think one day it would be nice to live in a society where you could just bring, say if I brought a girl home, and my dad would probably just be like, oh, okay, I'd love to live in a world like that. So coming out, really, I hope coming out isn't a thing within the next maybe 50 years, because it just be expected that you can bring anyone home. To the people who are too afraid to come out, I would just say that you can love who you want and you can be who you want to be, and if you love someone, you shouldn't be afraid to say what you believe, and what other people think doesn't matter, just as long as you're happy.
I would like to say to the people who are afraid, just basically don't worry and just do what they want to do.
I think for us, the only hope is that this can go international. It can really get to the countries that seriously need to start being LGBT plus inclusive.
Mm. The only hope sound is like that this can go international.
They're trying to be missionaries for this.
Hello.
Stuff,
like, that this can get to the countries that really need to start being LGBTQ inclusive. America, anyone?
Wow.
I mean, aren't we on our way there? Yeah. Let me tell you something else. There was a report, the BBC reported, there's a woman in the UK, Sarah Hobson. She's a primary school teacher. And last year, she was featured by the BBC because of what she's doing in her classroom. And this is what she is doing. She is conditioning school children as young as 6 years old to accept LGBTQ ideology. While they're young and impressionable, listen to this, so they'll be less likely to accept a Christian view of sexuality later on in life. This is what this woman, Sarah Hobson, said, quote, the more they can be accepting of diversity at this age, you're not going to face it further on, because the children will be accepting now and will be accepting this diversity around them.
Mm.
One of the things that she does in her classroom is she has the six-year-olds write love letters that would be written from one boy to another boy.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
The six-year-olds engage in an assignment where they pretend, if you're a girl, you're pretending to be a boy, but the objective is to write a love letter between two people of the same sex.
Wow. Wow.
Now, again, people say, you guys must just love homeschooling. You guys must just, that must make your life so much easier. Let me tell you something. I am committed to being the disciple maker of my children.
Amen.
The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, listen very carefully here. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher.
That's right.
You know who understands this? A secular world that hates God.
That's right.
You know who gets this? People who don't even fear God understand the power of influence. They understand that leadership is influence.
Mm-hmm.
So they understand if they can influence your kids at younger and younger ages, then they win them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if people saw the movie The Queen of Katwe. I won her. They want to win your children.
Mm-hmm.
They want to win your children. And for some reason, we don't understand this. So my thing is this. If you have a child who is in an environment where they seek to indoctrinate them, then your antidote has got to be that much stronger.
Come on.
One day a week, 2 days a week is not enough.
Not enough. Not enough.
So if you say, well, this is where God has us, this is where God wants me to be with my kid, then I got to believe that God has given you the muster to be able to fill in those gaps and provide an antidote for the type of indoctrination that our Christian kids are getting today.
That's right.
And if you're not putting in that work, you're deceiving yourselves. These kids are the kids who will be on the other side of the picket line. These kids are the kids who will be our elected officials and will wonder where the country went. Right now, these kids are in your home. They are the future decision makers. And they are being won over to the other side. They are the opposition in your home right now. And you know what? Liberals, leftists, God haters, they know it. They understand how valuable your child. You can't stand your kid. You get tired of wiping their nose. You know what the leftists say? Oh, come here. We just happen to have a box of Kleenex.
Yeah.
You don't want to change diapers? We just happen to have diapers at our school. Give them to us. Yeah. You're sick of potty training? That's okay. We have a rigorous program whereby we potty train in days. If you're tired of your job as a parent, you don't have to worry about it. We'll take your kids. You know why they'll take your kids? Because they understand what it is to build a future army. And what are we doing?
Come on now.
Loading your kids down with juice and carbs is not enough on a Wednesday night for them to be able to face this culture. They want a world where they have no opposition. So what are they doing? They're working right now to create the future world that they want to live in.
And what are we?
Guys, let me tell you. Okay, here are the phone lines. The number, 888-589-8840. You can talk to us if you want to. 888-589-8840. Okay, it's not showing up on my screen. I didn't know we had calls queued up. We'll go to the calls. Let me just say this one last thing, and then we'll go to the calls, because you're important. You matter in life, all right? You people holding, you matter. Look, they understand the value of our children more than we do. This should not be so in the body of Christ, where the Spirit of the living God indwells us. We should be wiser than our enemies. We should be more keen as to what is happening with our kids every single day. Our discernment meter should be through the roof. But what is happening? We have dulled our senses because we're entertained to death. We indulge to death. We're too busy. Our thumbs hurt from scrolling.
Come on,
our
man.
Kids are sitting right in our presence. We don't even know what's going on with them. And the enemy says, that's great. Don't even worry about it. We got them. And we're looking at our nation right now. Look, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was once a toddler.
Yeah.
She was once a middle schooler. And you already see in the video, she's once a high schooler too. Can you imagine how our country might be different if someone had reached that girl when she was younger? I mean, it's not too late. She's still alive, right? It's still called today for her. But I'm just using that as an example. Well, look, we have tons of those discipleship opportunities in our own homes.
That's right.
All right, to the phone lines we go. Will the Great, where do we go first?
Are we going, let's see, going to Texas and Essence?
Hello?
Hey, go ahead.
I can't hear you.
Hello, is this Essence?
Yes, I guess my phone is doing something funny here. I'm looking further up the road at this demonic homosexual movement that's happening. And if you notice, Muslims aren't speaking against this because they are waiting for this to become like a disease. And they will have their cure of Sharia law. And everyone will be so desperate that they will get voted into states. Thank you.
Listen, Essence, let me tell you something. Do you understand that Muslims can destroy a nation? Those who are radical now, I want to be very careful here, can destroy a nation without violent jihad? Do you understand that they engage in reproductive jihad?
Oh, yeah.
So, of course, they will be silent on LGBTQ issues because there's no procreation coming out of that. So they don't have to worry about families that are, you know, Christian, God-fearing, continue to explode in our culture.
Right.
Do you know what is going to happen? Do you know these?
Outpopulate. They're going to outpopulate.
That is actually a form of jihad.
And the ones who are not LGBT don't want to have children. So it's kind of, then there's abortion.
So Essence, anyway. You hit the nail on the head. Let's go to the next call. Well, where do we go next?
All right, go to Andy in Georgia. Hi, Andy.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Anyway, I can't hear you, but I can hear you over the radio. But what I was getting at, you said, Miss Addison said that they understand the power or the value of our children more than we do. This is so true. They do, because it's the children and the love of the children that we must really get to understand the love the Father God has for us as His children, you know, after we're adopted in. And I was talking to a friend of mine, I mean, my daughter's friend the other night. They're talking about running up to Target, and I said something to her about it. And she was like, well, they identify as women. Just matter-of-factly, like, it's already been driven into their head. You know, wow. This is something we really do got to be more concerned with, especially our younger children. And I appreciate what y'all doing, and I can't hear what you're saying, but I'm going to turn my radio back up and listen to y'all there. Thank y'all. Y'all have a great day. Blessed day.
All right, thank you.
Man, thank you. We must be having an issue with our phones here. I heard a similar thing as I was listening to one of the programs as I was coming in. We must be having an issue here internally. But look, let me say something. That is an excellent point. Do you know that when you get kids to the point where they start talking about how they identify, you know that they are fully indoctrinated? When they start wondering about how a person wants to be referred, when they start saying, well, you don't know what that person's pronouns are, you are looking at a person who has been fully and completely indoctrinated.
Man.
Luke chapter 6, verse 40. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher.
Mm.
My question is, who is teaching your kid? Now, I'm not just talking about the basics. I'm not talking about reading, writing, and arithmetic. And I tell you this so we could keep it 100. Look, I'd love to have someone I'd love to source that out.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Hey, you teach them math, you teach them science, you teach, but I'm going to be standing right here, so don't talk to them about anything else. You understand? And I know, look, and there's some homeschooling parents who are like, no, Miki, that's wrong. Well, you go with you, and that's fine. I know that there are some people who could do math better than I, and are more patient probably in that area. But I got to tell you, I'm not willing to turn my kids over to this culture and then just hope for the best. They have a goal. But they're not just hoping for the goal. They are actively moving toward the goal.
That's right.
What are we doing? We're out of time. Thanks so much for listening to Aaron the Addisons. Until tomorrow, Lord willing.
God bless.